Every single week I have you stand. God instructed me when I first became a pastor. He said, you have the people on Sunday morning, you have them stand to their feet, because I don't ever want them to forget that it's me that's caused them to stand. Because see, everything in your week could want to make you quit. It could want to make you just give up. It could make you want to say, God, this is too hard. Lord, I'm mad at you. All of the things that we go through. But nonetheless, God has called it fit for you to be standing right where you're at. And that's reason enough to praise Him. That's reason enough to give Him your life. That's reason enough to give Him your problems. That's reason enough to give Him your health problems. That's reason enough to give Him all of your worries, everything that concerns you right now. I'm going to ask you to do a very powerful thing. Nobody can do it for you. I'm going to ask you to turn it right over to God. I'm going to ask you to raise up your hands, because see, God can't take your worship from you, but He can ask you for it. He said, if you won't praise me, I'll call on the rocks and I'll have the rocks praise me. Now, I don't know about you, but there ain't no rock gonna do my job. God, in Jesus' name, as every believer begins to turn over the problem, God, as we believe that your word is true, Lord, I thank you that you're going down every single aisle. In the name of Jesus, God, you're meeting them right where they're at. God, if that's in depression, Lord, I thank you that you've met them right there. Lord, if that's in the middle of despair, God, I thank you that nobody heals a broken heart like you do, God. Lord, if it's in the middle of a health crisis, God, by your wounds, by your stripes, we are healed, and I speak a healing to take place in Jesus' name. Lord, I tell you to have your way in this service. God, where conviction needs to fall, Lord, I ask that you'd cause it to fall right now. And Lord, where wholeness and mending needs to happen, God, I ask that you begin to mend those broken hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm excited for His word this morning. I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin to look at verse 4. This is a message that I have waited probably since the beginning of my pastorship to preach, and it just was never the right time. And I love when something comes about and it is the right time. Amen. There's a time and a season for every single activity under heaven. If you don't hear another word that I say this morning, I want to tell you that God loves you and God is not mad at you. God is not sitting here thinking of ways that He's going to make your life miserable. God's not sitting there thinking about what you did 10 years ago that nobody knows about. God is here to set you free this morning. God's here to say, hey, I'm not mad at you. I'm not sitting here judging you. If you came in here drunk this morning, I thank God that you're going to leave here and you're going to give that up in the name of Jesus. If you came in here high this morning, I thank God that He's going to save you and that He's going to deliver you in here this morning. If you came in here broken, I thank God that there's a mending process going to be happening right here in this service. Amen. I'm going to ask you to do something, and I'm going to ask you to give God the next 50 minutes of your life. I'm going to ask you, if you've got a cell phone, turn that thing where it will not be a distraction. Because God wants to move in this service, and He wants to change your life. And He can't do that if He's competing with all your stuff that you got going on. Amen? I'm asking you to give Him your attention. And that is a very hard thing to do, especially in this world. I'm going to preach this morning on grief and guilt. Because I believe that those two things, most of the time, they go hand in hand. Grief and guilt. There's too many of God's kids, and they don't know what to do with grief. And I'm going to tell you that grief is biblical. And it has a place in your life. A lot of us don't like to feel anything negative, so we just decide we're not going to feel anything at all. That's the wrong approach at life. Because you're going to wake up one day and you're going to be numb, and then you're going to be confused because you're not going to know what you feel, because you won't know if you're up or you're down because you've lied to yourself one too many times. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now I'm going to look for understanding's sake. I'm going to look in the CEV version. And it says this right here. And if you are looking for a Bible that you can understand and it is very plain, I would encourage you to get you a CEV version because it is very understandable. And it says here, God blesses those people who grieve. God blesses those people who grieve. What is the Word of God trying to tell us this morning? The Word of God is saying, if you will allow yourself to go through the grieving process, that there is a blessing in that for you, just for saying, God, something has happened in my life. I'm not going to brush over it. I'm not going to act like it's not there. But God, I'm going to trust you in the process because, Lord, there's a blessing in there for me just because I choose to grieve and let you have your way in my life. See, there's a process in grief where there's a healing that takes place in your inner man, and you can't do that when you're ignoring your problems. You can't do that when you're ignoring that the grief is there. And so it says, God blesses those people who grieve, and they will find comfort. How do you find comfort? You allow yourself to grieve. You allow yourself to do it. You can't put something in its place and act like that's going to help you to not grieve. Because I promise you, there's a day and there's a time where the grief will be waiting on you. Most people that get high, they'll tell you, I just don't want to feel what I'm feeling. I want an escape. Amen, Brother Larry? I'm going to tell you, when you come up off of the high, and when you get up off of the drunk, and when you get off of your stuff, that'll be waiting for you. It'd be better to trust God in His process. Amen? And I'm going to, you know what? I've decided that I'm going to just let God do what He says. And God wants to talk to some people in here. And I'm not condemning you because I'm not that type of pastor. That's the last thing that I ever want to be. And I try very hard to even watch what I say so it doesn't land wrong. But I'm going to tell you something in here. If you're someone and you are struggling in addiction, God wants to set you free. God wants to give you a life without the addiction. God wants to give you a life without the high, without the drunk, without the intoxication. God is asking you to give Him a chance in here. I don't know who that's supposed to be for, but if it's for you, don't get mad at the pastor. You need to get mad at the devil and what he's done in your life and say, that ain't going to happen no more with me, devil. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, that ain't even a part of the message. I'm going to get back on script here. But grief is a must. Grief is a must. If you're somebody in here and you've got a pain on the inside of your soul and you've tried to sweep up over grief, honey, that's going to be there until you just say, I just yield, God, to your process and I yield to your word that says there's a blessing there if I'll just say, God, help me to get through it. God, allow me to feel the feelings without them overwhelming me. Grief is like a wave. You could be fine one moment, and then in the next moment, it's just like a wave, and it just hits you. And when it hits you, it could be a song. It could be a type of food. It could be a place. It could be anything, and it just trigger you to just ache on the inside. And that is the best way that I personally can describe grief. It just comes out of nowhere, and you don't know when to expect it. But God wants people to know how to do it. Amen? God will not allow you to feel something and not give you instruction on what to do with the feeling. The problem is that our culture is backwards and corrupt, and we're trying to tell people, I'm fine, you're fine. Ain't none of us fine. Nobody's fine. I ain't looking at anybody that's got it all together, including myself, and first and foremost myself. Amen. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 34. I'm going to look at verse 18. The next thing that I want to explain to you about grief is that God meets us in grief. God meets you in grief. Grief is that emotion, that shadow that you think, I don't want to do that alone. I can't do it alone. And the truth is no, you can't. God meets you in the grief. And there are all forms of grief. It's not just because of a loss of a human being. It's one of the things that I have preached since the beginning of my preaching is that one of the things you will have to grieve over the most is what you thought your life was going to be when it didn't turn out that way. I'm going to say that one more time. One of the things that you will have to grieve over maybe multiple times in your life is just the idea of what you thought your life would be. And then when it didn't turn out that way, it broke you in a way that you never feel like you can ever be again. I'm going to tell you that there's hope for you, because if God allowed that to happen in your life, that could only mean that He had something better than what you thought. You're going to have to give up what you think and just accept what He has. And I promise you that what He has is better. Amen. What He has is better. What He has is more fulfilling. And what He has is ordained for your life. And there is not a demon in hell that could ever take that from you. Amen. But you've got to get on board with what He's got for you. And if you're suffering today in grief of any kind, God wants you to at least, at minimum, walk out of here and know what to do with the grief. Amen. Amen. Psalms chapter 34, verse 18. I've just hit on a point, and I said that God meets us in grief, and He does. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He's close to the brokenhearted. Now, God is close to His kids at all times. He is not a far-off God. But there is, He calls it out and He says, for the brokenhearted, I'm for sure close. I'm close. Don't act like you ain't got a broken heart. If you do, be able to call that ace an ace and a spade a spade. If you're broken, call it broken and stop acting like it's fine, because you're going to end up confused in your life. Amen. If you're a mess, say, God, I'm a mess and I surrender. If you're messed up, say, God, I'm messed up. If you've done whatever it is that you're doing and you know it's wrong and you keep on doing that, God, say, in Jesus' name, I've got a problem and I like the problem. And God, I ask that You'd make me hate that. That's how I pray for people when I know they got an issue and they don't want to give it up. Lord, I ask when they start doing that, I ask that You would make them hate that thing so much. God, let it make them miserable. Now, you may not like that kind of praying, and that's why you're you and I'm me, and I'm going to pray how I want to. And you get to pray how you want to. But I do get a lot of answered prayers, I will tell you. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and the thing that He does next is some of the most beautiful work that God, only God can do. And He saves those who are crushed in spirit. There's things in this life, because they're so heartbreaking, because they were so unexpected, they just crush the human heart. God understands that. A lot of times in brokenness and in grief, we say, does anybody understand what I'm going through? And I want to tell you something. Nobody understands it better than God. Nobody does. God meets us in grief. This verse covers all grief. The loss of a loved one, the loss of a marriage, the loss of a dream, the loss of a future dream. It covers it. If there's brokenness of any kind in your life, God is close to you. If you're crushed, He's going to save you. Trust the crushing process. And it's not comfortable, and it's not fun, but I'm going to tell you something. There's something about that process that gives you something you would never have if you didn't go through it. Amen. Go with me now to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to look at verse 1 and I'm going to look at verse 4. Grief is a must. God will meet you right in grief, all forms of it. My next point about grief is that grief is not something to skip or to rush past. It has a rightful place in your life. It has a rightful place in your life, because, see, if you're hurting, God's not asking you to lie to yourself and say, I'm not hurting, just to make someone else feel better or to make yourself feel better. God's not asking you to do that. He's asking you to trust in Him and to know that, hey, if you're hurting and you're grieving, He's going to help you with that. He loves you. Grief has a rightful place in our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. There is a time for everything. There is a time for everything. If you are going through a problem right now, I want to tell you, there is a time and it's already been marked. That problem has an expiration date. It's already been decided. God will not allow that to last forever in your life. He will use it for your good. He will use it for His glory. He will turn it around, but He will not allow it to last forever. Everything, there is a time and a season for every activity under heaven. That covers everything. Now go with verse 4. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Grief has a rightful place in your life. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. Does God want you to weep forever? No. No. Is God mad when you do weep? Heck no. There's some things in this life and they hurt so much. What you need is you need to... Tears are healing. Okay? The Word of God says that there's not one tear that He hadn't collected that you've ever cried. He holds them in the palm of His hand. And your tears for the believer are anointed tears. They're going to go where the problem is. If the problem is inside of your heart and you're broken, I believe that as you cry those tears, there's a part of you that's getting whole and healed just in that process. I remember about a year and a half ago, and I don't think Daddy would mind me sharing this. Our whole life is pretty well an open book. We have no privacy. But about a year and a half ago, He came in here, and if you love somebody and you know them well, you know just by looking at them or hearing their voice when something's not well with them. And He walked in there through the church, and as He hit right about where Kyla's sitting, I could just see on His face that something was wrong. And not just wrong, but very wrong. And He began he got up here at the altar, and He just began to weep. And I said, hold on now, whatever has caused the weeping, because I ain't seen a weeping like that from Him very often in my life. I said, hold on a minute, because whatever's going on, you need to put those tears on this here cloth that's just become a prayer cloth, because see, God will not allow you to cry those tears in vain. Those tears are going to go somewhere, and they're going to create peace and healing and wholeness. I believe that He sent them to somebody in our family. Amen. God loves you in here this morning. God wants you to know what to do with grief. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Grief is not something that you skip or that you rush. It has a place in your life. Don't skip that place. If you've been brought to it, go through it. I'm going to say it again. If you've been brought to it, go through it. Don't try to hop up over it. Don't try to act like it ain't there. If you've been brought to it, the only thing that you can do is go through it. And thank God that He says in His Word, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll always be with you. God loves you. There isn't a thing that you've gone through that He hadn't been there. And people say, well, I don't feel Him. Look here. You don't go off of what you feel, but you go off of His Word, and you go off of what it says in His Word, because man does not live on bread alone, but we live off of every single word that proceeds out of His mouth. If you're hurting in here this morning and you're broken, I encourage you to get into His Word, because when you get into the Word of God gets into you. And what seemed impossible, when you get into the Word of God and you read that verse, where it says, with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible without Him or with Him. Whatever. Sometimes you get up here and you're blowing it and going and you getting them, you're getting down with it and you just... Back in my childhood, they'd have called that being drunk on the Holy Ghost. You can't say that now. They'll tell you lies on you. Pastor said she was drunk when she got up there this morning. Let me tell you something. If I ever get up here drunk, I earned it. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Now, if that just offended you, get over your little self-righteous self. Get over it. Get over it. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. I'm going to keep you out. You go sleep in my church. Let me tell you something. You earned that. I'm going to let you sleep. Because I'm going to keep it lively. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. I always say one of the biggest things that you'll ever grieve over is what you thought life was going to be. And when it don't turn out that way, there's something about that. I'm going to speak for a moment on grieving what didn't happen. Grieving what didn't happen. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Now, for the sake of understanding, let's read that verse in the CEV version. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Not getting what you want can break your heart. And I'm going to stop right there. You have to grieve over what did not happen. Because sometimes you can have your heart set on something so much that you can't move forward just because you just thought you really knew what it was going to be. And when it don't turn out that way and you're so stuck there, that's exactly what you are, is you're stuck right in that place because you can't. It's like it paralyzes you because you had a thought or you had a plan. And when things don't go according to what you thought life was going to be and life throws you that curveball, it's like you're stuck there in that place. Because something happened that you didn't account for, that you didn't plan on. And you got to grieve that thing so you can get to what God has for you. If God allowed you to meet that place in your life where something happened and it went against your plan, that could only mean one thing. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. We're going to look at verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. When something goes against your plan, and you're having a hard time getting through what you didn't expect. See, we got to grieve over what didn't happen. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, and this is right out of the Word of God. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. I know the plans that I have for you. When it goes against your plan, that could only mean one thing, that God had a bigger plan. That He had a greater plan. Does that still break your heart at times? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because when you get your heart set on something or your hope set on something, just like His Word said in that last place that we went, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Sometimes what we really are is we're heartsick over something that didn't happen. Or we're heartsick over something that did happen that we never expected. For about the last year and a half of my life, I've had to just surrender a certain thing to God because there was a person that I loved so much and I still love them and I'm still praying. And I'm not going to stop, and I'm going to not be mad at them. But they did something I never thought, and it made me heartsick. See, sometimes you're going to have to grieve over the decisions of others. Now, that don't mean stop praying for them. That means, if anything, you better pray harder. Because, see, the devil's trying to play for their soul. But you got to grieve over some of those things that had just got you hooked. It's like a big old catfish. When you get that thing hooked, that thing's hooked. And when something's got you, Man, you ain't going nowhere because it's got a hold of your heart. You got to surrender that to God. Because God's the only one that can do anything about it. God knows His plan for you. Trust His plan. If it went against your plan, He's got a better plan. Now, I'm going to get into the part of the message that I think has been a long time coming. When grief is mixed with guilt. When grief is mixed with guilt. Go with me to Psalms chapter 38. We're going to look at verse 4. Psalms chapter 38. We're going to look at verse 4. A lot of people struggle and suffer right here in this area when grief is mixed with guilt. When grief is mixed with guilt, people usually suffer in silence. There's something about guilt that silences people. Makes us feel like we can't say what's really going on because we feel guilty over it, like we shouldn't say it because we bought it, we earned it, we deserve it. The devil loves guilt because it is one of the most condemning emotions on the planet. I believe that God wants to erase guilt this morning. When grief is mixed with guilt, God, in Jesus' name right now, Lord, you have people here. And God, you wouldn't have me preaching this if this wasn't going to just land right in that right spot. Lord, I thank you that right now as I begin to read your word about when grief is mixed with guilt, Lord, I ask you right now, God, to do what only you can do. God, I'm asking you to do only what you can do. God, I believe that there's kids in here of yours and they have felt guilt and you don't want them to feel that anymore. God, I ask you right now, capture every attention span right now. I speak right now to every demon in hell that's tried to keep people bound up in guilt right now in Jesus' name. And I declare peace and the type of peace that passes all understanding. I tell it to go right now inside of every heart that's hurting and suffering in guilt right now in Jesus' name. Psalms chapter 38, verse 4. This is David. My guilt has overwhelmed me. My guilt has overwhelmed me. Guilt is like the elephant that just wants to sit on top of you and never get up. Amen. Guilt is the thing that you say, oh, God's forgiveness works for everybody, but it can't work for me because you don't know what I did. Guilt is the thing that you say, I could never be forgiven because I knew what I did when I was doing it and I knew that I was wrong and now this is just the price that I've got to pay because I'm guilty. I want to remind you what the purpose of the cross was really for. Because in that moment when he just said, Lord, your will be done. Father, not what I would have done, but God, your will be done. Lord, forgive them for they know not what they do. We didn't know what we did when we put him on the cross. And here's what I want to tell you. Everybody put him on the cross, okay? But he knew full well what he was doing. And when he was crucified and beaten, that was to erase guilt, to take it. So when you can read verses like Psalm chapter 38 and verse 4, and your heart is saying, I relate to this verse because this is me. My guilt has overwhelmed me. What is that thing that you're guilty over? What is it that you just won't let yourself have that forgiveness for? What is it? See, it's there waiting for you when you wake up in the morning. It's the last thoughts that you think at night. It's all throughout the day, and your mind goes there. When something bad happens to you, you say, oh, I deserve that because this is what I did. I want to tell you something. I know how that feels. I understand that. I have lived in that a long time. And here's what I can tell you about guilt. You have got to accept and receive the forgiveness that only God can do. You've got to be able to say, yes, I did that, and yes, I was guilty, but I have a Savior that when He saved me, He took away guilt. And right now, see, it's got to be a conscious decision, and you've got to come to that place, and you've got to be able to say, Lord, right now, I release guilt. I release the guilt. I hate when people say, oh, just let it go. That is the biggest bunch of nonsense I've ever heard. I hate the let it go era because it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But biblically, the Word says, hey, just open up that heart. Let's release it. What is forgiveness? It's the release. Can God really forgive you? He already did. He already did. I remember several months ago, I understand guilt. God, do I understand it? To the point where it grieves my soul. My dad is... there's not another person on the planet quite like him. And one day, he just showed up at my house. That's why I moved. Okay. Not because of Dad. Daddy can come over whenever. I used to have people waiting on me outside at like 5 in the morning, just sitting in my lawn chairs waiting. And I thought, ugh. I need to be ready for visitors, okay? Dad just showed up, and I was like, what on earth is going on? And he wanted to show me his side by side. I'm smarter than that. I know that God has these divine appointments etched out for people. And I get in there, and by golly, we drove around for 2 hours. But I was having trouble leaving guilt. I was having trouble releasing that guilt. And he got up in there, and ain't nobody loves you like a father, I'm going to tell you that. And if you weren't blessed enough to have a great earthly father, I'm going to tell you something that you can have even better. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and ain't nobody be a daddy to you like Daddy God. Nobody will love you like that kind of a father can. If you're broken over whatever's gone on in your life with your earthly father, I encourage you to love on Daddy God, because see, there is nothing that He wouldn't do for you. My dad got me and he said, Kelly, I just see it every time I look on you. And he said, what is it? And I said, I just feel so guilty. So guilty. And I said, I've just told God I'm sorry a million times. And it just never seems like it's enough. And he said, Kelly, let's tell Him one more time. And he said, and let that be that. So you have to leave guilt. It's not going to leave you. I can promise you that. It wants to take a hold of your little butt and drag you right to hell. Okay? Because guilt does something to people where you think, it don't matter what I do. I'm an awful person. I might as well just keep on. And He took me by the hand. And I just began to weep, and I said, God, I'm so sorry. God, I could never tell you how sorry I am, but God, I'm going to tell you one last time. I want to ask you right here and right now. See, God is all over the place. He's pricking at our heart. He's doing what He describes in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. What specific door is He knocking on right now? That door of guilt. And He's saying, can I come in there? I want to go in that door because, see, that door is the one that's got you. If that's you right here and right now, see, if you're concerned about what everybody's going to think about what you did to be guilty, heck, let me tell you something. Everybody in this place is guilty over something. We got to quit worrying what Sally Sue over here is up for, and we just got to worry about ourselves. But if you're saying in here, God, I could never tell you how sorry I am, I want you to stand up because, see, God wants you to just be done with it. He wants you to just say it one last time and leave it. And leave it. And leave it. The guilt don't want to leave you. God sees you in here today. Daddy, I'm going to explain something to you. I've got a lot of this message left to preach, and it's very important that I preach it, but it's also very important that you say that prayer, you pray that prayer. He's going to do the green microphone.
Everybody that wants to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, as I look at my brethren, as I look at my family here, You're the God of the Bible. You're the God of the second chance and the third chance. You're the God, and there's only one God. There's no one like You. You know why everybody is standing. And Father, I just believe right now, right now, this instant, before they walk out the door, lift that burden off of them, Father. As so many have got up to say, that's me. That's me. I need help. Father, we are casting our burdens upon You because You love us and You care for us. Set these people, Father, free. Set them free, Father. In the name of Jesus, You've already forgiven. Father, make that forgiveness real to each and every one that's standing and hurting, hurting and standing in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen. Go with me now to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 19 and 20. First John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. When grief is mixed with guilt. Sometimes your heart will tell you things that God is not saying. Sometimes your heart will tell you things that God is not saying. The Bible also says when it concerns your heart, the heart is deceitful. Above all, who can know it? Only God. Only God. Sometimes your heart will tell you things that God is not saying. That is biblical. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth. You belong to God. You belong to the truth. God works in truth. Amen. And how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. I'm going to read that again, because that verse needs to go where the guilt has been all these years, all this time. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. How do you get your heart at rest? Get in His presence. In His presence there is fullness of joy. Whenever our hearts condemn us, what is that really saying? Whenever your heart lies to you and tells you that you're guilty and that you're no good. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. God is greater than what your heart has lied to you about. And God knows everything. God is not condemning you. Sometimes we will replay those things that we feel guilty over, those things that we couldn't avoid, the things that happened that we just got to say, God, I don't even know how that happened, but I feel guilty over it. I don't know what to do. A few weeks ago, I was feeling guilty over one of my children. I think mom guilt is one of the worst things on the planet. Because it doesn't matter how many things that we did right, or all of the ways that we tried that nobody saw. It's the few things that we know that we did that we don't like that we did, or that we couldn't change for our kids, or we couldn't make them not hurt. And we replay those things in our mind, and then we feel guilty over them, and that guilt wants to condemn us right there. And I began to just go down memory lane, and I just was getting heart sick over it. And God stopped me and He said, Kelly, we've come too far for this. To start this again. And Kelly, you can't do anything about it. You ever noticed how the devil helps you get guilty over something you can't do nothing about? Because you can't undo the past. Grief. I'm going to read you something, and when I read it, it touched my heart so much. Grief will sometimes hand you guilt. Grief will sometimes hand you guilt, but you don't have to accept it as truth. If it is real, God will forgive you for it. If it is not, God will free you from it. Either way, you don't have to carry it anymore. Go with me to John chapter 11, verse 35. John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus understands grief deeply. Grief is a deep emotion. It's a deep feeling. It runs very deep. John chapter 11, verse 35. The shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. This verse right here gives us the permission to feel and to walk through grief. Because when He wept, after He wept, He endured the cross. He knew what was ahead of him, but he still entered into the grief of it. He went to the cross anyways. He proved that nothing keeps you from what you were destined to do. Not guilt, not grief, not nothing. The only thing that can keep you from it is you. Psalms 147, verse 3. Psalms 147, verse 3. God does not dismiss our grief. He doesn't ignore it. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. You say, well, what's going on? I still feel so awful. Sometimes the binding process takes a while. Now, I'm a big believer that when one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. Over the next 10 minutes, I'm going to minister to one specific family. And that is the family right over here on the front row. They recently found out that they were having a baby. They got to far enough in a pregnancy, far enough along, and they lost that baby. They've been through miscarriages before, but they've never had to bury a baby. And they're going to have to do that this afternoon. I'm going to read to you about their little baby. Okay? Diesel Edward Glenn Davenport. Born and passed April 21st, 2026. Diesel Edward Glenn Davenport was cradled into the arms of angels on April 21st of 2026. Though his time with us was far too short, the love he inspired in his family is eternal. Diesel was the cherished son of parents who dreamed of his future and held him in their hearts from the very beginning. He was a presence felt in every hope, every prayer, and every quiet moment of anticipation. While we never got to see the color of his eyes or hear the sound of his laugh, we knew the strength of his spirit and the depth of the joy that he brought our lives. He is survived by his loving parents, Tyler and Alyssa Davenport of Paris, Arkansas, three brothers, Connor Davenport of Charleston, Arkansas, Rhett Regener and Oakley Davenport of the home, his grandparents, Stacy and Cindy Davenport of Lufkin, Texas, Jennifer Regener and Paul Russell of Subiaco, Arkansas, and Heath Brower and wife Christy Brower of Findlay, Ohio, his great-grandparents Francis Burroughs of Danville, Arkansas, Deborah Regener of Clifton, Illinois, and Larry Regener of Subiaco, Arkansas, and an immense amount of uncles, aunts, and cousins that will forever carry his memory. Diesel's brief life reminds us that even the smallest lives leave the largest footprints on our hearts. He was preceded in death by his paternal grandmother that will be holding him in heaven until we can hold him again, Mindy Gregg, his great-grandfather Bobby Burroughs, as well as his two other angel siblings. They're going to lay this baby to rest this afternoon. Now, here's what I want to know. You know, when we get a cut or we get a broken arm or we get a part of our body that's broken, the body immediately begins to heal itself. It begins to work towards healing. Alyssa and Tyler, I'm going to ask y'all to come up here. And I'm going to ask for one specific type of people in this congregation. There's probably not a lot of them, but there's an anointing for the ones that I'm going to call on today. If you have ever lost a child, I'm going to ask you to come up here. And I'm going to ask you to begin to pray for this couple, because you know what it's like to bury a baby. You know what it's like to bury a child. You know what it's like for the unnatural thing that has to happen for a parent to bury their children. I'm going to ask you guys to lay hands on them, and I'm going to ask you to just begin to pray. And I believe that as you pray, I believe that the prayers are anointed. You know what they're going